Hi, Mark, and anyone else that might be listening. Last week, I had the opportunity to follow through on a telephone conversation regarding the possibilities of doing a historical drama at the Universal City Amusement Park, or it may not be called Amusement Park, but it's on the Universal City lot, and it's shaping up to be an amusement park. I also visited with Harold Hubbard at the Hollywood Citizen News Valley Times office. There, I think he is the weekly editor. Mr. Hubbard is a gentle, passive man, but has a very keen interest in his environment and also in the outdoor drama plan. He has done a great deal of looking into the historical aspects of the area and is interested in promoting the history of early California, and also he's interested in the many groups in the area that need a platform for expression. He mentioned particularly a Mexican group of people who are descendants from back then that are trying to maintain the dances and some of the cultural aspects of that era. And try to keep them from being contaminated by the more or less progressive Mexican groups in town. By progressive, I mean that they are more or less debasing some of the Mexican culture that was here earlier. He has some power in the position he's in that he can and will communicate with various community groups and has already spoken to the Historical Association, San Fernando Valley Historical Association, and they in turn have offered him some support. Now, the whole thing led to the fact that I would have to visit with Mr. Boyd and determine what Universal Studio Tours needs, wants, or will allow, and also to evaluate the amphitheater, which they have more or less completed. Mr. Boyd, a young chap, Chuck Boyd is his name, guided me personally through the facility. Now, the approach to the facility was up a long drive that went right by the Universal Sheraton Hotel. It's an interesting structure, very modern. The roadway going up there is lined with Christmas tree lights. And from the freeway or from the roadway, one can see a lovely string of lights going up the hill. It's really attractive from a distance at night. Driving up there, however, during the day is another picture. The landscaping there is about 2 years old, and it's not fully grown out yet, but there is a tremendous lacking of trees and a lot of lawn. Now, upon arriving at the top of this little plateau, one is in the parking lot, which is rather large, and one walks from the car to the main entrance, which is now under construction. They're building a new main entrance. It's, of course, modern for all practical purposes. It's built of cinder block, which is to simulate stone, and it's rather attractive, clean lines. Going into the gate at the main entrance, one immediately encounters the International Village, which is a family amusement kind of center, and that's to the left, and to the right there's a small discotheque kind of thing that the young people will use in the evening. And then continuing on down the walkway for about, oh, I'd say, maybe 2,000 feet, one reaches the amphitheater. The walkway exposes to the left the amusement center, which has a high wall around it. That is a family amusement center. And to the right is the slope of a hill. It is covered with ice plants and short shrubs. The few feeling is of being in an amusement park. There's no escaping that. It's not at any time since you have approached this enterprise. In the amusement park, of course, there are petting zoos and things like that, which was Mr. Boyd was more interested in showing me that than he was telling me too much about the amphitheater, but I managed to twist his arm and get him over there. The box office of the amphitheater is the same architecture as the main entrance to the park, only it has a rather colorful little frame around the windows, the box office windows. The amphitheater goes down from that point. There are trees planted around it. I don't know if these trees will be sufficient for stopping the tremendous noise that will be directly behind us. The amphitheater is rather large. There is some debate on its total capacity. Mr. Boyd thought it was 6,000 total. Someone else insisted that it was 4,000. And at that point, I couldn't tell what was what. There are 1,700 seats, however, that are back, individual seats, outdoor theater seating, and those 1,700 seats are in the shaded area of the little sketch I have enclosed. Now, that area is going to be covered with a material of some kind to keep the sun from beating down on the audience during the day. The whole amphitheater and the stage is a semicircle, and the radius of that circle, that is the stage area, the radius is 35 feet, giving the whole width of the stage 70 feet to work in. It is a strange departure from conventional design here, in that the stage is sunk 4 feet below the lowest step level that the audience is sitting on. In other words, from where your feet would be if you were sitting in the first row of the theater, the stage is down 4 feet into a pit. Presently, they are using the stage area during the day to put on their stunt show, which is the Western kind of thing, showing how stuntmen do their work, and it's a rather interesting little show. They do six to ten shows a day, very professionally done, and this is a free show for the people who are on the Universal Tour. The stage itself is really a complete circle, 70 feet in diameter, and it's covered with concrete. They have put rubber pads on this concrete so that the men can work, do their stunt work. The house or the stores and bar and stuff like that that they're working off of, which is their scenery, are on huge wagons, and the whole thing is an enclosed unit, and the two units all together. These can be rolled off so that something else can be rolled on to put on a performance at night, but must be rolled back every morning at 10:30 for the first gunfight show. Standing in the center of the stage area, one observes that the audience is directly to the right and directly to the left, and all points in that semicircle if the arms are outstretched. Directly also to the right is a tower up at the top of the amphitheater. Now this tower is way up at the top, and that is to be used for some lighting instruments. Directly to the left is the control room. And looking at it from the center of the stage, one would say that it is a tower, a traffic control tower that is commonly seen at a local airport. This tower is visible from every seat in the house, and I say tower, but actually it's a building with about a 16-foot slanted window in it so that the people in the control room can look out at the stage and the audience. Now, the top floor is the control room. The bottom floor of this building has two dressing rooms in it, each to hold about 8 people. The control room presently is equipped to control the sound system. It's rather elaborate for outdoor drama purposes, but it was installed so that they can bring in large rock groups, and the whole system can carry a rather loud rock group with ease. The control room has no lighting control yet, and there is no plans for the installing of lighting instruments. I discussed this with one of the assistant architects that was there, and he said, well, we don't want to put anything up here. It might look a little unsightly, and I indicated to him that something has to be put in to light a performance on that stage. Chuck Boyd said, well, we put a big searchlight up on the top of that hill, and it really lit the stage pretty well. And I didn't comment. So far we have a 70-foot stage area, a shaded audience of 1,700 people seated in back chairs, and an area that will hold from somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 people on cement steps and selling them cushions. The total rate of the amphitheater from the stage level to the top back seat is 21 feet, and I think the overall distance from the edge of the stage to the last seat, that is the seats that are already installed, is 48 feet. From the Hollywood point of view, this is an intimate theater. Large, but intimate compared to the other large houses they have in town. Now, from the audience looking down at the stage, the backdrop is the city of beautiful Burbank. Now, the city is, of course, covered with lights in the evening, but down below one can see a couple studios, motion picture studios, and if it's not too smoggy, you could even see the city. One would have to go up pretty high with scenery to obstruct this view from the audience. Perhaps 30-foot scenery would completely block out the city during a performance. Down there, not too far away, is the Hollywood Freeway. Of course, the sounds of the city do come up to the amphitheater because there is an updraft and it blows toward the audience, from the stage into the audience. However, with a reinforced sound system, this can, of course, be overcome. But one will not escape the noise factor of the city, nor the feeling that one is in the metropolitan area of Los Angeles. It's absolutely impossible to think that one can sit under the stars and be lost in the historical moments of the past. In observing, one cannot help but have an opinion of what is being seen. The prospects of doing a historical drama in this amphitheater are rather limited if we would think in terms of the outdoor dramas as they are presently being presented. However, knowing that Paul Green has already accumulated about 90% of the research needed for a historical drama, and that coupled with the keen interest of Mr. Hubbard and the possibilities of involving the local community, and the fact that Universal Tours does want to put something in there, the possibilities are still reasonable to assume that some kind of show can be brought in to this amphitheater. There are limitations also with regard to the use of scenery, but I think those can be worked out by a designer with some working experience of what has to happen in that theater during the day. And also, the physical problems of the amphitheater that exist presently could be adjusted relative to how one allows the seating in the audience. Because there are some seats that are flanking the stage left and stage right of the theater that could be ruled out for some reason. Namely, the a bad sight line. Dressing room space is somewhat of a problem, but maybe the old Western fronts that are being used now for the gunfight scenes could house maybe 60 or 70 people, if necessary, in dressing room space. This would not give them showers, but something else may be able to be done for that. In concluding my meeting with Chuck Boyd, he indicated that they really do want to do something in there, and he would appreciate my communicating with him as soon as I can get him some data that he can use to approach the studio head, a concrete plan that he could present to them, and they would be able to answer the questions of how much will it cost, etc., etc., etc. I told him that I would be getting in touch with the Institute of Outdoor Drama and relaying this information on to you. Now, I've been in quite a turmoil in my own mind as to how much to tell you about all of this. I do have reactions to it. I do feel it's not a good historical drama amphitheater. I feel its location in the middle of Los Angeles is not an asset. The approach to the amphitheater is definitely a problem. Like whether or not the community would want to get involved in what is basically a private enterprise thing, and there are relative problems in that regard. I don't think the community will do any more than support it by its attendance. And I think probably the studio is going to have to back this thing all the way themselves. It's going to have to be something they believe in as a vehicle and something they want to present to the public. It is limited in that regard. The other limitations are that it will involve the local union people, and that, of course, you realize is very broad out here. It involves the IA union, the stagehands. It also involves Actors Equity, and there may be some problems in that regard, but these are problems we'll have to look into if we find there's something we want to produce in it. With these various things in mind, I've tried to come up with some kind of recommendation for you, and needless to say that I'm interested in seeing this occur, something happen at this theater. I'm interested from my point of view. I know that Universal Tours is interested, the promotion department's interested, and Harold Hubbard is interested, and naturally the Institute of Outdoor Drama is interested. And because of everybody's interest, I think something should be done. Now, the general feeling of the area, of what's happening out here, is one that's going to really put some pretty heavy things on this script. First of all, let me say that in going into the amphitheater and sitting down, getting ready to watch a show, I think we have to start right with the present time, because they have not transported themselves. They're not on a pilgrimage. They're out to be entertained. Now, there are some historical-minded people, of course, they're going to be there one way or the other. But basically, we're looking at the fact that we may have to get a show that's going to draw in a maximum number of people to pay for the cost, because the costs are going to be high. So we may have to fill up that amphitheater just to pay for its run. And the run, by the way, is extended compared to other outdoor dramas, because they would open in the 1st of July and play on through October. So that gives you a full 3 to 4 months of performance. The weather here is excellent during that period. The evenings are pleasantly cool. Daytimes are drastically hot, but it's a very comfortable place to be in the evening. And of course, this is the season that the Hollywood Bowl uses and all the other outdoor theaters in the area. Now, because of the heavy competition in the area, and that competition is not just other theaters. Competition is a pleasant atmosphere to live in. It's nice to have cookouts. It's nice to do all kinds of things in the evening. And so the competition here is, starts right at home on through the many enterprises in the area that are presenting things for the public, not to mention the participation enterprises like ski resorts and down by the beach and Sunday camp. And it's just multitudinous. So, looking at the fact that we've got to have a smash player in this amphitheater, I think we may have to deal with some of the Tinseltown subject matters, and it is Tinseltown. There's no getting away from it. And a lot of the people that are going on the Universal City tours are going there to look at how movies are made and things like that. You know, they're interested in the movie business. And, of course, tourists in this area range from nearby towns of Downey. I mean, they're tourists are people who are out looking to see what they have in their area sometimes. We have a population here of about 8 million people, and maybe more within a 300-mile radius. So all these figures we've used in the past are going to be hard to apply to this amphitheater complex because it is in the middle of a city, and it is a competing entertainment enterprise. And it's going to have to be treated as such, or it may have some difficulty making a nut. A good suggestion might be that we can open this show as a present-day activity, namely on a movie set with actors on the stage, and so that we see the various types of actors and moving around the set, which is a movie set, and then getting into it, getting into an early California scene that is being filmed, and hopefully we can escape by identifying with the characters and forget that we are on a movie set, and then tell some historical events that occur. And for act changes and various activities that are going on, we change location for seating and all the many aspects of producing a motion picture that more or less is an overplot. And the actual picture they're working on is the early California story. That's a suggestion that might work. It's going to have lots of color. It's going to have lots of dancing. If the cast gets too huge, we're looking at a problem of making a nut. But this may be an approach that at least the audience will be able to identify with in the beginning and then bring them back once you have been captured into a story or a play. This could progress from early California up to the making of the first movie. And then, of course, there are possibilities from then on to put an alternate play in of the early California motion picture industry. There's some funny things there and some very interesting things that occur. The techniques they use now and the techniques they use in making silent film are so different. And it could be very interesting. Oh, I hope the background noises aren't too distracting. Right now I'm in my car headed to San Bernardino, and I do want to complete this today. It seems that I've put a lot of my own opinion and suggestions in this tape. I don't mean to be pushing anything in particular. It's just that I have observations on the subject, and this whole thing smells so commercial out here that it's going to be hard to avoid using a commercial approach. Of course, a commercial approach only means that the budget preparations, the amounts spent for promotion and advertising, and the whole general handling of the play will have to be different. It's not too much different, really, than the structure of producing a show that you've used. But the source of the funds is different, and the looking for profit is going to be heavier. And the costs here being so much more than they are in the other outdoor dramas, there's going to be a bigger push for a bigger audience. So even though we will probably get a lot of assistance from the local radio stations and also the tourists that are coming in now to see the Universal tour. I think they do 156,000 people a month during the peak months, which is July, August, and September. But the rest of the year, I think they do about 56,000 a month. People, that is. I don't think there's any way to evaluate how many of those people would be able to get into the theater to see the show every evening. There's one point I think I forgot to mention, and that was in regard to the sound system they have up now. There are four huge speakers that are mounted right above the audience's head, They're hanging from tables that are set from four large metal standing posts that are footed right in the audience. And, of course, those posts, I think, will be the main structure for the canopy that's going to be put over the seated area. The reason for this canopy is for shade, to keep the audience from being roasted during the day for the shootouts they have on stage during the day. Mr. Boyd indicated that whatever happens on the stage at night would have to be cleared off as soon as the show is over, because the daytime activity commences at 10:30 in the morning, and they would like to have all of their weapons set back on the stage for that. If you will flip the tape over now, you'll find more of the same unedited rambling dialogue.